199 Proof is a show where we take spirits and place them in head-to-head competitions against each other, evaluating them neat and in the drinks they frequently make.
We pledge that we will try at least 199 versions of each mixed drink we choose in a rigorous, bracketed-style tournament of data-driven drinking.
Just not all at once. Welcome to another episode of 199 Proof Data-Driven Drinking, where we take science and data and apply them to that very, very important question: who is going to be the last entrant in our quarterfinals?
Tonight, we get to the end of the round of 16, which started with Edinburgh Gin, my Genesis story, and now we've reached a conclusion, and we end it with Copenhagen Gin, your Genesis story.
Yes. 2 years ago, I thought gin was awful, and Copenhagen changed my mind about that. And tonight, we enter it in a competition to see if it can make it to the quarterfinals, where your Edinburgh gin has already gotten there.
Now, when you first had it, you had zero frame of reference on gin, or maybe a frame of reference from 30 years ago and a palate that was at best unrefined.
And it was just terrible gin.
Fair points all around. Tell me about Copenhagen gin.
Copenhagen gin is a very unusual gin in several ways. The first thing is it's not a grain spirit like most gins.
Okay, that hasn't necessarily worked out well for some other competitors.
It's not a corn spirit like some of the ones that we've had before, which we haven't had good luck with at all. It is 100% distilled from a base of mead.
Now that's interesting.
Very unusual. For those of you who are not up on your Norse drinks or your unusual alcoholic beverages, mead is actually a beverage made from honey.
It is, and presumably that lends a very unique flavor profile to it.
It really does. It really does. That is complemented by the fact that there is only one botanical in this gin.
One botanical?
Juniper. Since you can't call it a gin without juniper, they took honey and juniper, and they also add a little bit of propolis in the flavoring process.
And propolis would be, I mean, for everybody else out there, propolis would be...
the material that bees make their hives from.
So, Apian drywall.
Exactly. This is an Apian London drywall gin.
Huh. That sounds delicious.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. But I will say, it did cure me of the thought that gin couldn't be good.
And we all benefit from that. Anyway, it's going up against Fords. Now, Fords was designed a little bit differently. It's a collaboration between Simon Ford, the namesake on Ford's gin, otherwise it's just an amazing coincidence, and 8th generation master distiller Charles Maxwell.
Him again?
Again. This guy is like the George Washington of distilling. He's just distilled everywhere. They were dedicated to creating spirits designed in unison with professional bartenders and distillers to create a jack-of-all-trades gin, something that would work for every gin cocktail out there, a gin that every bartender could reach for no matter what the cocktail called for.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll find out if it's a jack-of-all-trades and a master distiller of none.
Ooh, would you look at that? Throwing shade on 8th-generation master distiller Charles Maxwell.
Yeah, I mean, Gin Lane, Portobello Road, those are both pretty good, but Fords.
Well, at least you don't have a dog in this race here.
No, I'm definitely not rooting for the one that opened my eyes to gin at all.
Well, I'm going to keep you on task and keep you objective.
Of course. Well, that's why we taste them blindly, because otherwise I might be tempted to oh so subtly root for the really interesting Copenhagen gin instead of Fords.
Well... that said, the gauntlet has been thrown.
Let's get down to business.
Oh, well then, I suppose there's nowhere to go from here except to the glasses.
Over hundreds of glasses of gin and hundreds more gin and tonics, we've narrowed the field down to these 16 gins. Dan and Mark will award 1 point each for the 6 199 proof taste dimensions for a possible total of 12 points. The 6 taste dimensions are smooth or sharp, strong or weak, boozy or sneaky, complex or simple, balanced or unbalanced, and adaptable or limited. To evaluate the adaptability point, we've added several garnish rounds. The garnishes cover a wide range of flavor profiles to highlight and contrast the botanicals in the gin, and will provide a predictor on how these gins will work with other mixers and liquors. If the gins are tied after the tonic round, we will incorporate the score of the neat round as a tiebreaker. If the gins are still tied, we will default to the 4 non-taste factors of snap: sophistication or snob appeal, novelty, availability, and price. When either of these guys takes a drink, you'll hear this sound. It's better than hearing them drinking and swallowing. Trust me.
All right, the neat round. Copenhagen and Fords.
Yes, as long as you're being objective about this, let me just say that these two really drink completely differently. We may taste them blindly, but it's so obvious which one is Copenhagen, which one is not Copenhagen. And that's because Copenhagen comes through with a real unique and strong flavor profile.
It does, and very different from any other gin we've had, including those that used honey.
Right. And Fords comes across as a very sort of typical London dry, juniper forward, citrus finishing gin.
The only other thing I'll say is that I don't love either of these that much neat.
I'm surprised too, because there's another honey-based gin that I really, really enjoy neat, and only in one cocktail that I've discovered so far. And this is completely different from that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they take tonic, but in the meantime, let's figure out who won the neat round.
Let's take it through the scoring system. Where do you sit on smooth?
Smooth, I gave to Copenhagen.
I also gave that to Copenhagen. It's not that Ford's drink's particularly sharp, but Copenhagen just drinks a little bit smoother than Ford's for me.
Fair enough. How about strong?
Strong is a bit of a back and forth, and I end up on the side of Copenhagen. Now, part of me wonders if that's because their flavor is so unique and different and sticks much further out in my mind. Or is it that Ford's just has a sort of subtle and low-key approach to it, and nothing's really standing out and, you know, taking my focus?
I had a slightly different take. For me, they were both stronger at the end of the taste than they were at the beginning.
I'll agree with that.
And it wasn't a completely pleasant ending. It was strong, but not necessarily in a complimentary way.
I'll agree with that, too. It's an interesting analysis, but not wrong.
I also gave my point to Copenhagen, which means, unlike last week when we were diametrically opposed on everything in the neat round, we've agreed on the first two.
Hallelujah. I'm so happy that we're back in lockstep. Where do you fall on sneaky?
Copenhagen runs a little hot. I gave my point to Ford's.
Oh my goodness, we're in lockstep again. It does. It just drinks a little bit hotter and a little boozier, which I typically tend to like, but not necessarily here. Ford's gets my point.
How about complex?
I had the same question that I did with strong in complexity. And balancing it out, going back and forth glass to glass, I end up on the side, surprisingly, of Copenhagen. And I say surprisingly because they're really only working with a very narrow palate here.
That is surprising, and I was shocked that 9 botanicals in Ford's and 1 in Copenhagen. But I feel like Copenhagen's base just has a multi-layered flavor because it was a squeaker. And in fact, I'm going to go back to the glass for a second. Yeah, it has a multi-layered flavor. Nonetheless, I fell off slightly on the side of Ford's.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I was a little bit miffed that master distiller Mr. Charles Maxwell couldn't make 9 botanicals stomp on the complexity of a single botanical, but I ended up giving him the point barely.
Perhaps that's just his masterful way of designing a gin that is a jack of all trades.
Yeah, somehow I think he should have mastered the complexity point, but whatever.
Huh. On behalf of 8th generation master distiller Charles Maxwell, we say, huh. What about balanced?
Balanced, I ended up in the Ford's camp.
I ended up in the Ford's camp as well, and it's because Copenhagen's very narrow flavor profile, very unique flavor profile, hits very specific areas on the palate. And Ford's hits pretty much everywhere, and it hits everywhere pretty much evenly for me.
All right. That means that you gave 3 of your points to Copenhagen.
I did.
And I, with my emotional attachment to Copenhagen and my Genesis story, gave 3 of my points to Ford's.
Wow, that seems like you're setting this up to say, hey, look how objective I am. I gave more of my points to Ford's in the opening round, and, well, I can't be biased. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you have trust issues.
Maybe I do.
The other thing that means is that we ended up 5-5 again.
A tie, yet again. Fantastic.
Well, I guess we better hit the tonic round and see if one of these is really good and one is only medium.
All right, let's get to it.
You'll hear Dan and Mark refer to the gins by name, but they taste them blindly and only find out afterwards which is which.
All right, the tonic round. Copenhagen double distilled mead gin. And you know, the other one.
Ford's gin, the other one is Ford's.
Oh boy.
From how you're overselling this, I can only imagine that you're overcompensating for something.
Hey.
No. It's a good size bottle. 500 mils. Just saying.
Oh boy.
But it's square.
Overall observations since you started us off last time.
Yes.
One of these is really, really distinctive, absolutely punches through the tonic. And the other one is a beautifully crafted, well-balanced gin and tonic.
Agreed. And I hear the pain in your voice, and I understand that. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and just preemptively say that nothing that happens tonight takes anything away from your eye-opening experience in Copenhagen. And without that, we would have never been here. You would have never had hundreds of other gins in the last 2 years. And you wouldn't be able to make these determinations.
And you wouldn't be able to enjoy watching me go through the scoring system.
Don't say it like I take pleasure in torturing small animals with hot pokers.
No, just me.
Okay, cool. Same page. Why don't we go through the scoring system and see where we fall here? Where do you fall on Smooth?
Smooth was an amazing... No, not really. Ford's won.
Ford's won. Copenhagen doesn't drink necessarily sharp, but when you mix Ford's with tonic, it is super smooth.
Now, strong, Copenhagen took that point. That is one strong taste.
That is one strong taste that cuts right through Fever Tree tonic water. Cuts through probably almost anything that you would pair it with. It's a very strong flavor.
Cuts through 6-inch steel plate.
Cuts through propolis like it's nobody's business.
Nobody's business.
That's what I meant.
Sneaky.
This was a bit of a back and forth for me, and I probably went back and forth 3 or 4 times. Neither one of these drinks hot or boozy to me, but Ford's finishes a little sneakier to me than Copenhagen does.
It's interesting. I also went back and forth, but the thing that I was trying to make sure not to do was to confuse the back end taste of each of these with being a little boozy.
Which is easy to do. It's easy to pull out Copenhagen's strong flavor and be like, oh no, that's sharpness or that's booziness. But you're right, it's not. It's flavor.
Yeah, and Ford's has the back end citrus, which could read a little hot, but it's citrus, it's not hot.
Right.
Nonetheless, I ended up, after trying to subtract out The flavor, slightly on the side of Copenhagen.
What about complex?
Maybe Mr. Charles Maxwell does have it figured out when you add tonic.
Go on.
9 beats 1 when you add tonic.
It does. There's something about the addition of the tonic water that opens up a lot of these botanical flavors, and a lot more comes out, at least to me, in the mixture of gin and tonic than does neat where you're just drinking the gin.
All right. We both gave our point to Fords then. That leaves balanced.
This was another category where it was difficult to separate the strength of the flavor from the balance of the flavor. However, it's not so difficult when you're going up against Fords, which is just incredibly well balanced. Copenhagen isn't terribly balanced, but it hits a couple places harder. It disregards a couple other parts of the palate. Fords doesn't do that. Fords hits everywhere, and it hits everywhere evenly and equally for me.
One thing that I've been doing a lot with balanced is looking at balance over time.
Yeah.
And Copenhagen has a very strong back end flavor.
Right.
And that kind of dominates the other flavors, which makes it unbalanced over time. And therefore, I go with Fords also.
So you have a virtual XY axis in your mind.
Of course.
Wow. That was telling.
And that leaves us with the first adaptability portion, which is tonic only.
And this one was super easy for me. Based on everything else that we said up to this point, it's Fords. Fords is just a much more adaptable gin and tonic gin to me than Copenhagen is.
Makes a more cohesive drink and almost like it was built to be put with tonic.
Almost like it was built like that.
All right. Well, let's put some garnishes in these and see what happens once we add something else. See if it, say, tones down or balances out the very, very strong Copenhagen flavor.
Let's move on to garnishes.
All right, the first garnish, the classic lime. Mark, I started us off with tonic. You want to start us off here?
I do. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I just don't think Copenhagen, for me, is a gin and tonic gin. And garnishing it doesn't change my opinion. It actually reinforces it for me. There's something on the finish when you add the lime to the gin and tonic for me that almost like dries out my palate entirely and leaves me looking for some sort of refreshment.
Interesting, because I kind of hear what you're saying, but I ended up with a very different opinion. I thought that the Copenhagen was a strong Copenhagen flavor, and it wasn't a real cohesive drink with the lime, but that the Fords got its butt kicked in by the lime at the end. And I ended up 80% of the way through thinking, this is great. And the last 20 thinking, No, the lime is dominating and I can't take it.
Wow, we couldn't have had two different reactions there. Let me go back to the glass and see if I can get on board with what you're saying, but I'm not sure that I can.
All right, I'll do the same.
No, for me, the Copenhagen just has conflicting flavors, and the lime is not helping it.
Yeah, and for me, the lime is just dominating the Fords at the end, and I end up basically with sort of a pucker. Oh, well, I guess we split.
I so want to make puckered lips jokes right now, but I will not.
All right.
I won't. It's the low-hanging fruit. I'm better than that. I'm telling myself that as much as I'm telling you that.
Yeah, we don't really believe that.
No, we do not. That said, I will show some restraint. We'll move on to grapefruit.
Here we go. All right, the modern classic grapefruit garnish. Mark, you start us off with lime. Mind if I start with grapefruit?
I would be very grateful if you would.
Ooh, okay. Well, in that case, just because it's so appealing, I will do that.
Wow, you're so one-ups with puns.
Oh, don't be thin-skinned about it.
Two ups. Two ups with puns. There we go.
Well, I will say this. The Copenhagen worked better with the grapefruit than I expected, and the Fords, to me, worked less well than I expected.
I'm going to half agree with you right there. The Copenhagen worked so much better with grapefruit than I ever would have expected.
For me, the problem was that Fords, it didn't stand up well to the lime, which is not that unusual because lime is a really strong citrusy flavor.
Yeah, sure is.
But it didn't stand up as well to the grapefruit as I expected. I ended up with the last taste being kind of a citrusy grapefruit, a little bit of a pucker taste. Watch it. Whereas the Copenhagen, while not being real cohesive, it stood up really well to the grapefruit, and I ended up giving it the point for that reason.
You know what you can do with that pucker taste, huh? I had a little bit of a different experience. I thought the grapefruit with the Copenhagen, like I said, it worked much better than I ever expected it to, and it brought out some flavors that I didn't necessarily taste before, but more importantly for me, it mellowed out the strength of the Copenhagen, and it made a more cohesive drink than it did with just the tonic or with the lime garnish.
Yeah, I especially agree with you about the tonic.
On the other side of the equation, though, is Fords. And for me, the grapefruit really introduced something that I hadn't tasted before. And this was sort of a creamy vanilla flavor. And the addition of the grapefruit increased the complexity. And it made a good gin and tonic even a little bit better.
Hmm.
It did finish a little citrusy for me, but I don't mind that because while it ups the complexity, it finishes grapefruity for me, and I liked it.
I'm going to go back to the glass and see if I can get that citrusy vanilla flavor you mentioned. Almost, until the end. And then it just tastes a little bit too much straight grapefruit for me, whereas Copenhagen back to the glass. Copenhagen, I find, stands up better and sweetens the grapefruit out a little bit and ends up as a better drink.
Okay, well, here we go. Split again.
All right, in that case, let's take some sage advice and hit the rosemary.
Ooh, I didn't see where you're going with that, but I like it.
All right, our first savory garnish, rosemary. My overall impression here is that neither of these is great with rosemary. I don't love the Fords with rosemary, but I like it slightly more than the Copenhagen with rosemary.
That's funny. I fall off on the exact opposite side of the fence. I think that the Fords kind of fights with the rosemary, and the citrus and the herbalness of the rosemary just don't finish right for me. On the other hand, just like with the grapefruit and the Fords, I find the rosemary and the Copenhagen produces this additive effect where it's greater than the sum of its parts, and I actually like it.
Well, just out of respect, I'm going to go back to the glass one more time, so to speak.
Oh boy, these herb puns are getting old.
That's weird. I thought they'd be growing on you. That's going to leave a scar, Burrow.
That's not fair.
Well, I will remember you as the one who preferred the Copenhagen. Still.
You're not there. You want to be there, but you're not.
Yeah, not quite.
Okay. We split again.
Okay. Double garnish, here we come. Double garnish, here we come.
Somebody's getting punch drunk or just drunk.
All right, the final garnish component, the double garnish round.
I think that the Copenhagen holds up better than I expected it to. For most of it, it just doesn't finish right for me. And that's unfortunate because I think that the grapefruit and sage adds another layer of complexity to it. And it makes it subtle and nuanced and layered in ways that the other garnishes haven't.
Interesting. I had a different experience with Fords, which is that it didn't stand up to the grapefruit as much as I expected, and the finish wasn't quite right. I'm going to challenge you to go back to the glass here in our last garnish round, and I'm going to do the same and see if I can taste what you're tasting.
Gladly. Okay, for me, everything I said about the Copenhagen, I stand by. What I like about the Fords is that the grapefruit brings out that vanilla and that creaminess that I mentioned before. However, now the finish isn't fighting that sweet citrus battle. The finish is all sage, and I like it. It wraps it up nicely, and I really, really enjoy that much more than just the grapefruit garnish.
I'm going to stick with half of what I said before. I still think that the Ford doesn't quite stand up at the end as much as I would want. But on reflection and on trying them again, the Copenhagen finish isn't quite right. And it's a little bit less right than the Fords to me, which means I'm switching my vote and giving this part of adaptability to Fords.
So that gives Fords the adaptability point.
It does.
And that gives Fords the victory in the tonic round.
Yeah, that too.
And that means that Copenhagen is sent packing, which I know is difficult for you.
It's unfortunate. But on the other hand, taking the big picture view for a second, Copenhagen opened my eyes to gin.
It did.
And that's really good. And the fact that it did that isn't going to change, even though it's gone from being my Genesis story to being forced to take an exodus from the tournament.
I won't bring much light to that because I know how much Copenhagen has meant to you, still means to you, and it should. It's really opened your eyes to the entire category and is single-handedly the reason why you're here recording this.
Yeah, that plus the fact that, you know, you're not that bad to hang out with on occasion.
I'll take that in writing, but I appreciate the sentiment.
As a verbal comment, it's definitely worth the paper it's printed on.
Ouch. Wait a second. That sounds sounds a little more underhanded than I'd like it to be.
Well, thank you, Copenhagen. And Fords, I gotta give you some credit. Apparently, eighth generation master distiller, Mr. Charles Maxwell has some idea what he's doing.
As does Simon Ford.
Oh, yeah, that.
Well, that wraps up our round of 16, and that brings us now to the quarterfinals, where we have just eight gins remaining.
Which is pretty amazing, considering we started with, you know, about 60.
The eight remaining, in no particular order, are Edinburgh Gin.
Fords. And Fords, which, you know, as much as it pains me, earned its way in.
Right. There is Plymouth.
And Brooklyn.
There is Malfi.
And Greylock.
There is The Botanist.
And Junipero.
These are eight really, really good gins. Some different, some pretty straightforward. But we're going to start introducing other categories, more cocktails.
Yeah, it'll be pretty interesting, right? We got the garnishes, and now we're going to start introducing entire different drinks?
Yes. So there is nothing that these gins can hide behind. We are diligently putting everything through their paces.
I am going to be sorry not to have Copenhagen in the mix, but I am going to be very glad to have a bunch of mixed drinks with these eight gins.
Join us next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Please check out our website for more information, 199proof.com. Follow us on Instagram, 199proof data driven drinking, all one word. Follow us on Twitter at 199_proof and find us on Facebook. Send us what you're drinking and let us know what gins you'd like to see featured on future episodes. Cheers.